not just the guys you brought in, but the guys that you retained. Starting with just what you did with Josh, I guess.
Yeah. You know, Josh and I had a brief conversation at, you know, after the season ended, and we always talk anyway. We keep an open dialogue, but yeah, he always stops by before he leaves town, and so we talked about it, and we both said let's see if we can do something. I know he had, the way the market had shifted since he did his deal. He played four seasons on that, and you know, the quarterback contracts are always quite unique, and it's the one market where, for whatever reason, whoever's next up sometimes just goes to number one or number two. It's not the way I would choose to do it, but that's the way some people choose to do it. And so I think Josh fell to like 13th or 14th and just felt like even if he didn't win the MVP, it was a conversation I wanted to have with him, you know, this offseason. And so we did that. And then he spoke to his Patrick Collins, you know, his rep. And, you know, I've been talking to Terry, Mr. Pegula, for a while on this. And so we talked about some things, some structure ideas. So we kind of had an idea of what we could do. And they still take time. These are complex contracts in a lot of ways, but we wanted to treat him fairly. And he's obviously done a lot for the team, the city, the organization. And appreciate their work to get it done. And we were very excited on our end to have him secured, add 2 years. And, you know, he's a Bill at this point, at least through 2030, which is good for everybody.
Joey Bosa talked yesterday. It seemed like you guys were pretty aggressively pursuing him. Was he somebody that you guys, as soon as he became available, zeroed in on? And how concerned are you about, you know, the last 3 years he talked about and the injuries and everything like that?
Yeah, Matt, Joey's a heck of a player. We've seen that up close and in person. He about put Josh in a pretzel here 1 year. I was like, you know, sweaty palms watching Josh get up. And, you know, that infamous game out in L.A., I think he only had one sack, but he was all over Peterman. And I yelled at him for damaging his career, you know, and started there. But in all, you know, you've always, you know, the Bosas, you know them. I scouted those guys in college, elite talents. And, yes, he has, to your question, Matt, he has had some injuries. Most of them, if you watch him play, you see why. He plays the game violent. He plays it reckless, without care for his body, you know, which you love. But sometimes, you know, we've seen it here with Milano a little bit, too. He plays that wrecking ball style. I think Joey does it. But he knows how to rush. He hasn't lost that. He played 14 games last year, 41% of the play time. So he can help us. We need to have him help us through the year. And then also, you know, if hopefully we can qualify for the playoffs and have him fresh, ready to help us down the stretch. You know, I think if he had never really had any medical issues or any setbacks, his market would be in a lot different place than where we were able to land with him.
Do you have a plan then, or are you still kind of working through that with how to keep him healthy and make sure that he's at his best at the end of the year?
Yeah, we have a plan with every player, not just guys who have been injured. We have a plan. We have our performance guys do a really good job. Joe Collins, Nate Bresky, and now Will Greenberg's our head strength coach. But we put an individualized plan for each of these guys. Again, if he came here and never missed a game, we still bring him in, talk to him about things. There's guys that haven't missed games, but they're dealing with stuff. And you want to ask guys like that, do you practice every day? Do you need a, you know, do you need a vet day? What do you do on Mondays? Do you lift after Mondays or do you wait till Tuesday? All those things. So we will definitely have a plan, in this case, you know, for Joey. And, you know, from your spring to getting through training camp to the first part of the season to the latter part of the season.
Might be ballparking a little bit, but where are you at in space and how active do you see the team being going forward right now?
Yeah, I don't have an actual number for you. We're still working through some things, but you know, we're running tight with knowing you have to save money for the draft picks. And I think I've talked to you guys about it before. Even if you're under on this top 51, we've had to do moves in the past at the 53 cut when you have to, you know, include everyone, practice squad, whoever's gone on IR, injury replacement cost, all that. So we're getting thin. We've changed stores that we're shopping in.
Your goal in free agency is to have every hole filled as much as possible going into the draft. Number two corner right now with Rasul still being unsigned, I don't know that you could say is filled. What's the plan there as much as you can share, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I would say two things. One, you know, we got a month and a half till the draft, so we'll continue to look. Number two, Jay, probably what I said last year when we traded Steph in early April, like we don't play until September, so give us time to work through it. Things change. People pay using that position. Somebody may have paid a corner that makes another one expendable at some point. So we will continue to monitor not only that position, but other positions. Right now it's about building competition and depth across the roster before we get to the draft. And then, you know, once you get there, and then when you get done with the draft, you kind of see how that fell. What did you land? Now, what are your holes? And again, post-draft, some people may get heavy and say, you know what? I can release a guy now or June 1st, spread his cap out. So we'll continue to roster build. It never, you know, in a perfect world, you would always love to stand up here and say, we can go play games right now. I'm not, you know, professing that, but we'll continue to work at it. And again, I don't think that's the only spot we got to continue to get better at.
Hoyt and Ogunjobi, could you speak to the priority of the defensive front, and then just a comment on what Hoyt and Ogunjobi bring to the table?
Yeah, both of those guys. So Hoyt is a guy that was a year ago was a restricted free agent. He got the second round tender. He was a guy we were tracking to see what the Rams did. Really thought he was our type of player and knows how to rush. He can play multiple spots, versatile, motor, you know, just understands the game. And Ogunjobi's a guy I knew him from. He's from North Carolina. I didn't know him personally, but knew him through – You know, when I was with the Panthers, he was playing at Charlotte, and he actually went to Ragsdale High, where my cousin taught and went. So he's a guy I knew who he was in high school, just to be as good as he was there. So guy we've tracked, we've actually followed him before, but either couldn't financially make it work or whatever. And I think he's a guy that, you know, we look at as can provide some interior depth rush. Pittsburgh was using him a little bit different than Cincinnati did. I think he had a 7-sack season. Not as many sacks last year's in Pittsburgh's D, what he was asked to do. Maybe a little more two-gapping than penetrating. But, and while I'm on those guys, there's a couple things. Part of the delay, I'll start with Larry. Part of the delay with Larry was he received, you know, around this time after we agreed, he got a notice that a PED, pending suspension. So he came into my office yesterday. We did not know it when we agreed the other night. So had a conversation, and I give him credit because it's early in the process. The league doesn't even know about it the way that it's done by an independent group. But he was very forthright. Larry's he was Pittsburgh's man of the year. Like, he's a good man. He's played 8 years in the league and never had a blip. And so, you know, that's obviously frustrating for him and a little bit of a setback for us. And so, but we've talked it through. We're in a good spot, but that's part of the delay. We did get him here yesterday, and there's some contractual things that we've had to work through And so he hasn't officially signed yet, but he should be signing shortly. But again, so he will be out the first six games. And the second curveball here is Hoyt, we knew about. So we were aware of his, and I would not have done two guys, but we did a three-year deal with Hoyt knowing his situation, same thing, played. He's been in the league 5 years. I think his was earlier. We were made aware of it. There's a thing we can get with the league that we can find out status, his status we knew, and we talked it through with his agents. So, so it's not ideal to have two guys with that. But both guys have never had any issues off the field. And, you know, it's a tough lesson of where do you get your supplements or whatever happened. And I think Larry is, you guys can ask him, you know, I think he's planning to talk to the media. Mike will be up next because he has signed. You know, my understanding from Mike is thinks, you know, he knows what happened, but where, you know, and then Larry does not know, still looking into it, but wanted to just expedite it and be done. He could have drug it out. So we're going to have to, and we've talked about this since we got that news yesterday. We're going to have to kind of treat this as if we know now that a couple of guys are, you know, injured in camp and you're going to, you know, you put them on IR to start. So the way that would work, you know, those guys will be out the six games. They can be out of the, they have to be out of the building four, and then they can come back for two and begin play week seven. So they'll be with us in the off-season program, the training camp. And then when you make the 53 cut. So again, we'll be okay. It's just kind of plan for one. The other one, he literally got the letter, Larry did this week. Honestly, did not have to tell us because the league, when I called them, they were unaware of it. And it all added up to when they get these tests, there's more than one sample. There's one sample, and then like 3 weeks later is the next sample. Until all of that, until both have been tested, the league is not made aware of it. And so, but again, we'll embrace those guys. And if they were guys that had, this had happened before, we probably would have avoided them. But again, Larry's been in the league, man of the year, 8 years. And sometimes, you know, whatever. And again, he doesn't. You can ask him, but my understanding is he is not knowing, you know, what exactly occurred, and so we'll see.
Is there a cap on those guys who are placed on the suspended list?
So once they are today, no. Once you sign them, but when they go on, it does come off, and some happens in reconciliation after the season, but a little bit, yes.
I know you talked about it some, but like after agreeing
in
terms of Larry, then finding out, and now knowing you have two of those, like why still?
Stay with it? Yeah, you guys know how this works. You guys have seen this before, where you know you get frustrated, like somebody agrees, and then 2 days pass, and then they change their mind or whatever. Well, guess what? Everyone else has already agreed and signed, so the pool has been thinned out. And so by the time we learn this, and what are your options? To either stay with the player, or a lot of other players have agreed to terms. Maybe we would have, you know, we definitely wouldn't have gone into this with two guys facing this. But at this point, you know, choosing Larry's position, since we agree with him, there's a lot of other D tackles off the market. And so that's why we, you know, and again, he was straight up with, as soon as he walked in my office yesterday, just to talk. And I respect that about him.
And then Josh Palmer, what do you like about him?
Josh is, love Josh's game. I would say the first thing, Mark, excellent route runner. like really, you don't, he does not give indicators. A lot of guys give indicators whether they're about to stop, break, sets guys up. I thought he had, if you watch his film last year, I thought there were a couple touchdowns that got missed that he double moved. And, you know, on the card, he's around 4-5, but I'd say his play speed's faster. Build the speed when he's up and running. He can play inside. He can play out. He's a smart player. You know, we look for that in this offense so that Joe can move these guys around. So, you know, he's a guy that we don't really get into the X and Z. We'll put them all over. And, you know, again, if he wants to play inside, play out. But good player. Really was a guy that has been on some rosters with some good receivers. You know, he talked to me about, I was asking where he learned his releases and some of his stuff, and Keenan Allen was the guy he kept referencing that, and, you know, that's a pretty good one to learn from. He's 25 years old, still think like, I don't think he's hit his ceiling mark. I think he can still play. So, yeah, you never know where, how the free agency is going to turn, but excited to add him to the group.
Where do you think
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, we've been able to get some done, Joe. And at the end of the day, we love Christian. You know, I don't really get into, you know, negotiations or anything like that. But love Christian and excited he'll be back this season. And we'll see if it works out now, later down the road to keep him here, you know, which, again, you know, by what I've always said, we want to draft, develop, and re-sign our own. And so excited that he'll be here this year, especially knowing, as Jay referenced, we're thin at the position right now.
Larry found out yesterday about the suspension.
I don't know specifically, but it was this week, you know, so, and you'd have to ask him specifically what it was. But, yeah, he told me as soon as he walked in, so I'm assuming he learned the day before or something. He just got the notification. And, again, I think the B sample hasn't even come back yet. Yeah.
Is that door still open? Like, where you?
Yeah. Tough deal. Love Vaughn. Really appreciate what he brought here. You know, we all know his year one really started off with a bang. Made some clutch sacks for us to help close some games. Had the injury year two, not what he had hoped for, and I thought last year really came back and did some good things. We just decided where the salary was, you know, to try and see if we could step back, look at the field, see what else was out there. But we did not. I had a very good conversation with him the other day before we released him, and would never close the door on bringing him back, whether it's now, whether it's later in the spring or in season. He really, beyond his skill set on the field, you know, he brought a championship mentality to our team, to the guys. And if he's not back, he'd be missed in that standpoint for sure.
What was it like a year after parted ways with so many veterans and leaders and made trades and to get under the salary cap? What was it like finally being able to build long-term, looking ahead to the future beyond this season with some of the guys that you had?
Yeah, I mean, John, first off, it was exciting, you know, to get a lot of these guys done that we can, some of our young players that we drafted before we hit free agency, you know, to get, obviously, Josh, but Rousseau, Terrell Bernard, you know, all these guys Shakir, I think we got Shakir done first. All these guys that are kind of homegrown, you love. That's the perfect way to do it. But we know, for whatever reasons, as guys leave or certain things don't work out, you got to fill in different pockets with free agency, you know, or trades. And so last year helped us, I wouldn't say reset, but helped us be able to do some of the things, knowing from a planning standpoint, you have to start looking what is down the road and who's coming up, and to make sure you know, if we had not done some of those things last year, would have made it very difficult to definitely keep at least the ones we've kept so far. And so that was definitely a conversation a year ago when we made those tough decisions of some of these guys. Hey, if they keep trending in the right direction, we'd like to have the capital to be able to, you know, re-sign them. Again, it takes two, and I commend all these guys for really wanting to be here in Buffalo. I know you guys have talked to them all, but all those guys were, I loved it. You know, they just really telling their agents, hey, I'd love to be here. Let's see if we can get something done and put our heads together and found terms that we were all comfortable with.
Really fit in well here last year, only year here. Was that just a matter of not being on the same page monetarily? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we love Mac and appreciate what he did and definitely had a lot of conversations. You know, I'd say you'd have to ask Mac, you know, for sure. But we were definitely interested in bringing him back.
What led to finally moving on Kyrie?
Yeah, that's a tough one, John. It really is. I'm gonna get emotional because I love Kyrie, and it didn't work, and it stinks, and it's not, you know, it's not for a lack of effort, you know, on any side here, and the guy worked so hard, you know, he had some bad breaks. Like anything, there's probably things he was like, man, if I'd made this play or that play, maybe that, you know, this game is about confidence, and especially that is a hard, hard position. And Kyrie had some good moments here. He really did, you know, whether some of the interceptions, thought he had some good training camps. But in the end, you know, he and I had a conversation after the season about where he was going into his last year. And, you know, like anything, he knows the expectations and he's a competitor. It was hurting him to not play, and whether it was to be a healthy scratch or to suit up but not really get in the game. And ultimately, it's on me. You know, I made the selection that didn't work out, and I own that, and that's you don't want those to happen. But, man, I'm rooting for Kyrie. I really am. I hope. You know, in the conversations I had with teams, you know, I really told him, like, you would be getting a great young man. And, I mean, the guy worked so hard. And I think I'm confident, maybe a reset for him. Give him a chance. I'm pulling for him. I think everyone at One Bills Drive hopes it works out for him.
What's your outlook at Hunter? You have Jake on the roster, Sam signed a contract elsewhere.
With respect to, what's your...
You see the team attacking that position this offseason. You only have one on the roster. Typically, the team has had more than that going into a season with an unproven player like Kamara. How do you expect to attack that position this offseason?
Okay. Yeah, we'll look. We'll bring in competition for Jake. We like Jake coming out a lot. And, you know, he really – I thought he had some good first couple of years last year. Didn't go as well for him. But, yeah, we'll – the same as corner. We'll continue to, you know, monitor that, who's out there. I wouldn't see us, you know, putting a big price tag, you know, whether it's a veteran or, you know, in the draft. Yes, good. LaVisca. Yeah, good question. Wide receiver, kick returner would kind of be his, you know, he's been dynamic with the ball in his hands. I know he was a, you know, former second round pick. We had some love for him when he came out. I think that was the COVID draft. He's had the same thing, some ups and downs in his career, you know, moved to a few different teams. The kickoff is, the league is really pushing hard with the rule change. You know, we have the owners' meetings in a couple of weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more changes made to up the percentage of kickoffs. And so we do want to have some options back there. So he would be back there for that. Also, however Joe would want to use him, receiver, I mean, he's a guy you want to get the ball in his hands in various ways. He's good with it, which most kick returners kind of are that way. But very dynamic, and he can hit a home run.